will do. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 tonight. The title of this sermon is Let's Move, or Let's Move Forward. The order is come, and Joshua and the children of Israel are to move into the promises of God. Israel's been able to overcome a desert experience. They've been through some dry times, some very dry times. They've been through some very lonely, desolate times out in the wilderness. And the congregation's whiners and complainers have all but died out. Here in Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the hosts and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, means prepare you food. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. The nation of Israel is so organized that Moses could quickly communicate with the people through his officers, writes one Warren Wiersbe. They formed a chain of command. Moses didn't assemble the leaders to ask for their advice, but to give them God's orders. Sometimes leaders must consult with their officers, but this was not one of them. God had spoken. His will was clear, and the nation had to be ready to obey. It is Joshua's chance to lead his people into the blessed promises of God. And just like in our lives, God gives us directives that will require us to be ready to progress or move forward. There's been a time of just walking in the wilderness and walking with God, but now God says, let's move. And those who are unfaithful will leave the fold. There are times when God wants us to advance into His promises. The truth is, we must always be ready to move when God says move. And our church has gone through a great time of great renovations, great fellowship, camaraderie, laboring together, blood, sweat, and tears, if you would. A one-time event, like Israel crossing the Red Sea. But this victory of Israel is not something that we won't ever see again. We'll see God continue to work. We as a church must press forward for the Lord. But the question is, am I willing to inconvenience myself to fulfill God's will for my life and your life and the life of this church? We've heard stories. We've heard things that God has done throughout this project, victories. And none of this would have been possible if someone wouldn't have been willing to reach beyond themselves and get a broader vision. If these who came, and I was talking with my dad just before the service, and he was talking with the folks who had come, and they came up here, and they saw all that was going on, and they saw the community, and some had never been to another place like this, and it opened their eyes, and they began to tell my dad stories of things and give their heart a vision for missions. What you understand in Proverbs 29:18, the Bible tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And this very church is supported through missions. In order to allow my wife and I to minister to you, minister full time in this community, God has done something unbelievable, spectacular. And I was even talking with Norman this morning, and he said, people are noticing what God's done here. I'm telling you, it's exciting. We took a step of faith, not realizing we set a date and just hope that people would come, and they did. May we be praying that the Lord enlarge our vision to reach Thompson for Christ. Our goal and the North. Our goal as a church is not just to grow, to have friends and more friends, a fellowship. The goal is to grow as a church so that we can see other churches planted all throughout the North. Lives and families transform because of what Jesus does. A church is a spiritual organism that thrives or dies. And our goal for this church is given by the Lord Jesus, and that is the Great Commission. This coming Saturday morning at 10:30, we'll go out and pass out flyers and invite people to church. If we want to receive the blessings of the Lord, it's going to take every person of the church doing their part. We must trust the Lord, follow His lead to receive the promises of God. We must be willing to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I don't know all that God wants you to do. You do, but I don't. And as the Spirit of God leads you and guides you, as you walk with the Lord in obedience to Him, we must be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll follow. And with these truths this morning, or this evening, let us pray. Our dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, I yield this evening to Thee. I commit it into Thy hands. Father, we are in a place that needs the hope of Jesus Christ. It's people that care and love them. people that will come alongside of them. Our Father, I thank you for the goodness you've bestowed upon us. Lord, I just pray for souls to be saved, people baptized, added to your church here, and God, for you to do great things. And it's, God, you've given us an unbelievable blessing, something we must steward as wise stewards, supervising the responsibility of this building which we've been given in this community. Lord, you've allowed us to pay it off. You've allowed us to do the work that only you could do. And Lord, it's all by your grace, the Lord our provider. Father, tonight may we realize that every one of us are important to doing your will. Every one of us are necessary to fulfilling the great commission to see people come to know Christ and leave the despair of sin for the hope and the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, as I preach your word tonight, I pray that you'd empower me to preach your word faithfully, truthfully, precisely, and may you be glorified. I love you, Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen. God's given us, number one, a clear call in verse 10 here, the orders. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Joshua says, listen, it's time to move. You know, this has got to be exciting. For the nation of Israel, they're over 400 years before that God had given to Abraham to say, listen, you're going to cross in the promised land. 400 plus years. And now they're 3 days away from moving into the blessed promises of the promised land of God. I've got to tell you, man, I wouldn't be sleeping. Thinking 430 plus years, here we are waiting for God to give us the land that he promised to the forefather Abraham, and we're 3 days away. They were not to maintain their sedentary state, but an active and anticipatory state. They were anticipating what God would do, waiting for the Lord to move them into God's promises. It's easy for a church to get into a rut and become comfortable. God doesn't want us as a church to settle in and get used to the norm. The norm or the comfortable is what lulls a church to sleep. The great awakenings back in America did not last long in Protestant churches because the people didn't get a vision for fulfilling God's greatness. They were lulled back to sleep. It was those who were converted and endeavored to carry out all that God had for them in the Scriptures. Those who read their Bibles would leave the Protestant churches, start Baptist churches founded upon the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. As members of this church, we've been called to follow the Great Commission, both at home and abroad. This is a mission continually pressing forward as we think about this. If we fail to press forward, you fail, then you're moving backwards. If you're not moving one direction, you're going the other direction. And much of the stagnancy in churches today is a lack of attention to fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission, if you're not familiar with that, would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Our Lord Jesus, before he left this earth, he gave to all believers a responsibility, and I would say the institution with which that belongs is the local New Testament church. In Matthew chapter 28, it is the responsibility of churches starting churches. Churches reproduce after their kind. Humans reproduce after their kind. Animals reproduce after their kind, right? Dogs produce dogs. Cats produce dogs. Lions and so forth produce after their kind. Churches reproduce after their kind. It's our responsibility, as God would say, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God's desire and Christ's desire for churches and the institution of churches is to reproduce themselves. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. That's Bible study. That's discipleship. Whatsoever I have commanded you. The discipleship is how to follow Jesus, how to have a relationship with Jesus. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the Great Commission, my friend. God wants every man, boy, girl, and boy, whatever. You understand, every person of this world to hear the glorious news that Jesus saves. And that as a church, God's desire for us is to get out there, to be a Christian in our testimony, Christian of how I talk, Christian of how I walk, Christian in what I give out, the message that I bring, and faithful to the Lord in all that we do. In 1 Peter chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me there near the end of your Bibles? In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 12, particularly verse 15 we're going to focus on, but verse 12 here. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify, that means that word sanctify is to set apart, means to place in a highly revered position. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What is he saying? He says, listen, if someone comes up to you and said, why do you have such hope for life? You can say, because of what Jesus did. For me, that day I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. It says in verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. They look at your lifestyle, they say, that is a lifestyle that pleases the Lord. There's a watchfulness for opportunities to reach our community for Christ. God's looking out for us to engage others with the answers and hope of the blessed gospel. Sometimes it's even a message as we've had in this community and building people and getting to know people as God has allowed us such remarkable relationships in the community. And I found Thompson a very friendly place. But nevertheless, many Christians and church members are unfaithful to the Lord, His local church with which they are part. And God's desire is get involved, be faithful. God's affirmation, Joshua's affirmation of these men and his encouragement, his victory. Ye shall pass over this Jordan. Ye shall go in to possess the land. And here's the great promise that God has given, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. I'm telling you, we have an answer. We have an answer to the very things that are going on in the life of a person. So many people, as I was actually just reading a couple days ago as God, there in the book of Ezekiel, God talking about coming upon the minds of the Israelites. And the thing is we face all this mental health crisis because of people's lives that are away from the Lord. There is a physical aspect, but there's also a spiritual aspect. We are to be unified. We are to be tied in spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit that indwells us after we've asked Christ as our Savior. I'm telling you, God wants to do something. And as I was talking about the Israelites there, it just dawned on me that what happened in Israel and the despair and the dejection and all that was going on in that nation as they were under assault by the Babylonians, the Assyrians, that there was a rejection of truth. They rejected truth. And they rejected the Lord. And God says, okay. And the fear and the anxiety and the worry and all these symptoms, exactly as we see in our world today. God is looking for us to be willing to engage others with the answers and hope of the blessed gospel. The gospel, the good news, that's what the word gospel, the good news, that Jesus died on that cross and rose again. God says, get involved. But the promise here, and here is the great truth, my friend, that God says at the latter portion of verse 11 in Joshua chapter 1, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. God says, listen, this land is already yours. The possession, the promises are, it's already yours. You know, Christian, that's a great delight for us that God says, listen, these promises, these blessings, the hope, the peace, the rest, the joy that we can have in our life is already there. If we'll just be willing to obey and follow the Lord. If we're willing to get involved and serve the Lord, your readiness to move as a Christian and a church member is constant. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. The Bible is saying that you would have a gracious speech, knowing how to answer every man. See, Joshua received God's word and he readied his people. He was willing to press forward. His patience with the whiners and dissemblers was now past and God had given the go-ahead. Let's move forward for the Lord. I'm telling you, it was exciting. You know what we find in verse 10 of Joshua? The point number two, the manpower. In verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people. God appoints leadership. God gives his commands to his appointed man. And then Joshua disseminates. He distributes these orders of what is to happen and how it's going to progress and how people are going to enter into the promises of God. God said, I'm going to give it to you. And then God ordained Moses and then Joshua. You realize God works in the same way today. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. God uses pastors as leaders. Not that pastors are anything great, but pastors are to follow the direction and leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one that gives the orders. The moment the Lord Jesus Christ's orders are usurped or overwritten by man, there's great troubles that will ensue. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, the elders in Scripture, you'll find it synonymous in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Elders, bishop, and pastor refers to the same office as we would say today of pastor. But the elders which are among you, I exhort to him also an elder. And to witness, Peter was the pastor, one of the pastors of the church there at Jerusalem. Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice with me verse 2. Feed the flock of God. Never is a church a pastor's people. They're God's people. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. He's not to do it for the money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. A pastor is not to lord over, he's not a dictator, but he is to set the example of Christ's likeness to those within the church, and the same way that Joshua was. The idea here is that God appoints, but God has a very high prerequisite to answering that call. God prepares His people to move, and as we find today for pastors, pastors are to be the example. Now, pastors aren't perfect. Tell me, I'm not perfect. If you want to find flaws in me, you'll find them, because I have them. But He says, I want you to feed the flock of God. God says, they're my people, and I want you to feed them with the Word of God. A pastor is not to lord over God's people, but to walk with God and to lead and direct, and if people so choose to follow, they follow. If they don't, well, then they choose consequences for themselves. Then they have to answer the Lord for it. And find in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the key to the church is to have trained and sanctified believers. I want you to look with me here in the God's commission. Why do we have Bible studies? Why do we have multiple services a week? Because the desire is that as you get the Word of God, you get the preaching, that it enters into your life. Not only does it enter into your head, but it enters into your heart. You say, listen, these are truths that I need for life, and I'm going to apply them. And it's going to fundamentally change you. It'll change your home. It'll change generations as we follow this book. You see, a pastor's words are never higher than the Word of God. The moment a man says, listen to me, you're in big trouble, because it's what God says. See, that is the responsibility, is to follow God, not a man. There is no great man, but there is a great man, Jesus Christ, the great man. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible tells us, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Again, he's talking to pastors. Verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He's saying, listen, here's the pastors or the elders. And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. God says, listen, I want you to watch out to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus says, listen, the church of God, the institution of local churches, Jesus bought with his own blood. No church ever belongs to a man. It belongs to Jesus Christ. It says he purchased it with his own blood, every local New Testament church, to feed them. And sometimes in the feeding process, sometimes if an animal's sick, you got to pick it up and hand feed it. Other times you got to restrain an animal from eating too much. But there's always, in this idea of feeding, God says, God never calls a church a pastor's church. He always calls it the church of God, or God's people, God's heritage. Going on from here to verse 32, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The key to the church is to have trained and sanctified believers, people that just say, listen, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Trained, I know the Bible, I'm learning the Bible, I'm wanting to grow. And if you're ever wanting to have a discipleship, a weekly Bible study, going through things, man, I'd love to meet with you. A sanctified believer is a believer who says, listen, I know whose team I'm on. If you're in a sports team, you know your team you're on. But as a Christian, I'm for the Lord. I'm for the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that's not for Jesus, I'm not for it. And God's desire, he says, listen, to build you up and give you an inheritance, all of them. God says, I want you to be built up. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to have strong marriages. I want you to have a strong life and a vibrant life for the Lord. And God uses here the materials that we find in this. As I mentioned, the manpower, but you come to verse 11. The materials. God says, prepare you victuals. He says, get your food ready. For within 3 days, he says, get everything in line, ready to move. Get the logistics. You know, God gives clear directions on moving forward. He tells Israel here to prepare themselves as victual. The victuals, it's food for human beings prepared for eating. A little note here from Webster's Dictionary. He says, we never apply this word to that on which beasts or birds feed. We apply it chiefly to food for men when cooked or prepared for the table. We do now give this name to flesh, corn, or flour in a crude state, but we say the victuals are well cooked or dressed and in great abundance. We say a man eats his victuals with a good relish. God says, get your food ready. We're going on a trip. Can I tell you I like trips? When I tell our daughter, we're going on a trip, she's like, oh, she runs to her room, grabs her backpack, and she begins to put her toys in her backpack. She's ready to move. She's ready to go. She's like, how many more sleeps until we go on a trip? I love her enthusiasm for trips. Man, I love trips. I like driving and just going on long trips and just stopping where you're going to stop. And I mean, it's amazing. It's fun. In 3 days, he says, listen, 3 more sleeps. We're entering into the greatest promises that God's ever given to the nation of Israel, the land. Man, I can tell you, Christmas is close. Christmas time is exciting. And when you're a little kid, can you remember? Oh, I wonder what's, you know, you're shaking the boxes, you're listening, you're trying to figure out what's under that tree. And I mean, you're just elated, you're overjoyed. Christmas is coming. And there's some really cool presents. But can I imagine something much greater than that? Though we trusted God for a miracle, Joshua had to prepare for the everyday necessities of life. He says, get your food ready. Get your clothes ready. Each family and clan had to provide their own food. You know, here's the blessed thing. The manna was still falling every day. And it wouldn't stop until Israel was in their land. But the people needed to stay strong because they were about to begin a series of battles for possessing the promised land. Notice this. Entering into the promises of God always brings great battles. The first city that they fought was a mighty, mighty city, Jericho. I mean, it was unbelievably huge and large walled city, impenetrable, if you would, from a military standpoint. Every time you enter into God's promises, there's always hard battles to be fought. Because the promises of God and getting those promises require God to give it, requires faith. Requires that God is the one that's working. Because when I get those promises, I can never say, Chris did it, but God did it. You see, in this building, as we think here and all that God's done, I can never say, Chris did it, but I can say, God did it. Because God's done the work here. You said, of course, it's a lot of people, but God led those people to come and help. God's done amazing things on this church. We're not a very large church, as you can see tonight. But I want to ask you tonight, are you ready to do the Lord's bidding when He asks you? Are you willing to take the next step of faith? If you're saved, the next step is be baptized and join a church and get involved and say, I'm all in. And I would say also doing discipleship, learning more of what God wants for your life? Are you so cemented in your plan for your life that you're unwilling to move? No, it's my, many people say, it's my life. But God says, move forward. Oh no, Lord, I could never move. It'd be too hard, too scary. You see, the whole walk of the Christian life of faith is that I'll follow the Lord. That I've got my eyes set on Him, because if I have my eyes set on me, and I've talked with people even recently that have had their eyes set on themselves and lived their lives in their own thinking, only to just see unbelievable destruction. I'm telling you, God's saying, let's move. As a church, He's saying, let's move. My friend, God's desire for you tonight and for us is to say, I'm going to put God first. And the rewards, oh my friend, the rewards are great. In verse 11, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Oh, the rewards, my friend. God doesn't leave Israel in the dark. You want to know the wonderful thing I love about our Lord? I love our Savior. Is God tells us what He wants to do, and then He's telling us, He says, listen, He says, I'll be with you. I've already given it to you. He clearly tells Israel where they're going and why they're going. You know, often in our day and age, we want to know why we are moving ahead or why the organization is changing. You might say, what is the result of my commitment to move forward? What does it benefit to me? But God is a loving Father here with Israel. He gives clear directions. Move forward. How are we going to defeat Jericho? Just walk by faith. We're going to cross the Jordan River. Then what? You know, I'm one of those people, having been an engineer in the military, an officer, and all of these things. Man, I used to live my life. I wanted to know every step of what I was doing. Man, I had my checklists. And I wanted to know everything that was lying ahead. I wanted to see every danger and every caution and every hazard and every stumbling block. I wanted to know all of it. I tried to anticipate everything. You know what happened, though, in those checklists? There were a lot of variables that I never put on that list. That just somehow seemed to pop up. And then you're like, oh, this isn't on my list. You know what God was doing with me? Saying, Chris, would you just trust me? Would you just live by faith? I'm telling you, God wants to do something great. But rather than just always looking ahead, and I'm not saying throw caution to the wind and be foolhardy. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we as believers ought to say, what are your commands, Lord? What is my next responsibility? What is the next thing you want me to do? God's first thing for every person is to accept Jesus Christ by faith alone, to be born again. After that, to be baptized and join a church and grow and learn and get involved for the Lord. That's the next commitment that God wants. God was waiting for all the whiners and complainers to die off. Why? So He can proceed forward with an obedient people who will just live life by faith. The question, your life is not your own, and great blessings await all of you. But it takes obedience to the Lord. I want to ask you tonight, are you looking to God for your blessings, or are you looking at the immediate obstacles? Well, I could never do that because of this. I could never do that because of this option, or this, or this, or this. I could never be faithful. Or I will be faithful when this happens. Or I will be faithful after such and such happens. You know what we do? We stay in the desert. We stay in a place outside of the blessings of God. I want you to understand that God's blessings come in time, but you must be faithful to your calling. I'd like you to look with me at Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. You see, Christian, God's desire for every one of us. God, you might be thinking, I could never do what such and such a person I read about did. This Christian, I could never do that. But I want to tell you something. They could never do it either, because it was God who did it. I look at missionaries from the past I look at missionaries whose lives they've given for the Lord Jesus Christ, overcoming insurmountable odds. Only see God do a great breakthrough. You see, Christian, your forward progress is only limited by your exclusive faith in God. Will you follow? Are you willing to listen? And I'm telling you on a daily basis, as I get into this book, as you get into this book, I need to hear from the God of heaven of what His will is for my life and your life. As I mentioned, God's first will is that every person gets saved. That you know, that you know, that you know that you're God's child. There's a time in your life you accepted Christ as your own personal Savior, realizing that He died on that cross to forgive you of all your sins. Number two, I'm baptized to show the world that I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I baptize in a church that believes the gospel that is founded upon the Word of God. And I joined that church, as we find in Acts chapter 2. I'll show you that here in just a moment. But in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says in verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. That's not what it says. With all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Goes on in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Some people say, well, I'm wise, I'm smart, I'm all of this. God says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He's saying something here that God is saying, listen, if you are just trusting and following, it's going to be health to your body. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God's blessings come in time, but you've got to be faithful to your calling. God says, trust me. Number one, trust me. He says, number two, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't trust in your own heart. Don't follow your heart. That's a dangerous position to follow your heart. Because following your heart, then I'm only trusting as far as I can see. And you know what? None of us can see very far in the future. But God can. Don't lean to your own understanding. He says, in all your ways acknowledge. You know what does that mean? That means where I'm working. God, is this a good place for me? Father, who should I marry? Lord, is that a good spouse for me? What church do you want me in? Lord, is that a good church for me? Is that where you want me? And I'm telling you, God says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Why? Because as a loving Father, He wants you to know that He has your heart and your best interests at stake. There's nothing that breaks the heart of God more than when I don't just give Him my heart and trust Him. God doesn't say to follow a man. He says to follow Him. He who created all the world is there in Job. God would question Job, were you there when I created the world? The obvious answer is no. Don't be wise in your own eyes. It's easy as we think in our lives. And earlier on in my life, as here I am, and I was doing the university, and I did other things. I said, oh, I've got the world at my fingertips. No, I was foolish. And I tell you, I made a lot of dumb decisions because I was wise in my own eyes. It's health to your body. And then he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. God says, listen, you give to God what belongs to God. God's promises here to Israel is let's move. And before I finish here in Acts chapter 2, I want to show you this idea of salvation and then baptism. God's desire is, listen, I want you to move forward. And baptism is, there must be a church of a sound doctrine. It has the authority under the Word of God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we find something in the sequence of how it has progressed in churches. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received His word, so they put their faith in Christ, were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They stayed with the Word of God, the doctrine of the Bible, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They said, listen, I want to follow the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't lose it. You can't gain it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough for it. It's all Jesus. They stayed in truth. They said, I'm all in for Jesus. I want to say tonight, as I bring this to a close, do you want to see the blessings of God in your life? Do you have a vision beyond your own hobbies and desires? Do you believe God's word that He wants a solid church to be established here in Thompson? We need a vision. We need to be ready for God moving us and leading us. We need to be ready to just trust the Lord. God has a grand plan for your life and mine, this church's life. The blessings and rewards of God are waiting on a people who are just obedient to God. And the leadership He's established, God says, listen, Lord says, follow me, trust me. Don't lean to your own understanding. And Joshua says, Israel, let's go. Let's go. Let's move forward. And so oftentimes, I think we've attained so often an insurance type mindset, right? What are the risks? What are the, you know, mitigating all of this stuff? And again, I'm not saying throwing caution to the wind, because that would be foolish. But I am saying if we know that God's called us to move forward, then move. Don't hold back. If God's called you to take the next step of faith, whatever it is, then move forward with it. Don't hold back. Be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord, Lord's house. Be faithful in what we give to the Lord. Be faithful in all of life. God has a plan for your life and mine. And Israel was just 3 days away from hundreds of years of waiting for God's promises. And they neglected to get it. They could have been in that 40 years before. But because of a critical, whining spirit, they were delayed for 40 years. May we not lean to our own understandings, but may we trust the Lord. Get involved with what God is involved with. Get involved in the Great Commission, telling people that Jesus saves. It's not about how good or how bad we are. It's about how good God is. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what you've done. God doesn't care. What God cares is He wants your heart, and that comes, first of all, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And as a Christian, let's move forward. Church, let's move forward. Let's honor the Lord with our lives, our conversation. May we always have an answer ready to every man that asks of us a reason of the hope that lies within. I'm telling you, Jesus is wonderful. As you think on these truths tonight in the invitation period, I want to just encourage you to just reflect on these thoughts tonight. And as we'll have a time of invitation in the musical play, I just trust that you would just talk with the Lord however He's spoken to you. And you'd be willing to say, you know what, if you're learning, you're growing, or like, I'd like to do discipleship, I'd like to know more, and we'd love to meet with you so that you can draw closer to Christ. And as you get to grow, and there'll come a time that when you grow, that you'll teach other people, and they'll teach, and they'll teach. And that's exactly the Jerusalem church model. People disciple others, and disciplers disciple, and disciples disciple others, and a multiplication of people that are working on the lives of people that they would know the goodness and the greatness of our God. As you think on these truths tonight, as the music plays, I trust you do business with the Lord this night.